Hi, I'm Daryl Cagle, and this is the Cagle Cast, where we're all about political cartoons. And today we have three brilliant Canadian cartoonists. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having
us. Good to see you, Daryl.
Yeah. Terry, this is your cartoon. Terry Mosher is also known as Iceland. He comes from Quebec and draws for the Montreal Gazette, and he's won a bunch of awards, including Canada's National Newspaper Award twice. So you've got Canada building a wall that Trump will eventually pay for. That's funny.
Well, there's a double entendre here, because you wouldn't pay for it now, but eventually. I mean, this is a very complicated issue, the business of issuing tariffs, and there are many opinions about it. But the bottom line, Daryl, is that Canadians are truly, really pissed off with not Americans so much, we love you all, but Donald Trump and these things that he's trying to pull off. So using, of course, exaggeration and hyperbole, I'm suggesting here that a beaver is building a wall between the two of us, and that eventually this is going to backfire on Trump, the whole business of tariffs, and therefore he will be paying for the wall eventually. That's the suggestion. This is actually in today's paper, so you're quite right. You're very up to date.
Here's another one of yours.
Yeah, that was when this really exploded. I took the Canadian flag and played with it. This was fun because it only took me about 15 minutes to do, and cartoonists always prefer that. And so it's just a question of stylizing a fist. I heard from a lot of American readers saying, you're using a communist fist here. I said, screw you. It's a fist. We're really angry. And there you go. And that traveled. What I mean by traveled, it was picked up all over the place. Mm-hmm.
You could put that on a T-shirt, I think, Terry, or posters. You'd sell up.
Actually, yeah. You know, Graham, what people have suggested is put it on a bumper sticker and then drive across the border.
Okay. Dave Wamond hails from Calgary, Alberta, and he's an incredibly prolific cartoonist. He draws two comics, Reality Check and Day by Dave. Dave is also a prolific illustrator who does puzzles, greeting cards, and lots of top-selling children's books, and he's won a bunch of awards, too. Welcome, Dave. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, so this was kind of when Trump first came out making these, I don't know if they were threats at the time. We thought he was just kind of kidding around, and then they became more than jokes, I guess, and first thought that entered my head was the beavers building a dam, and did a little pun with the dam word. Dam, was it something I said? But after I drew this, of course, everybody had memes out with beavers building dams. And so I guess never do the first idea that comes into your head. When am I going to learn?
I have noticed that often the first idea that comes to your head is the one that editors like best, and they really don't mind that other people are drawing it. That's something that annoys cartoonists and doesn't seem to register with either the public or editors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of times I'll say, oh, everyone's going to do this. And then you find out someone else did it, and it's the top selling cartoon of the week, you know? So it's like, well, I don't know what to do anymore.
So here you've got Trump and Trudeau in the mafia restaurant, and perhaps that's a mafia bar. Trump says, nice place you got here. It'd be a real shame if something were to happen to it.
I think this is kind of, it seems like a mob threat in some ways, you know, and, Trump's has sort of united the right and the left in this country in the ways that brought us all together, in the ways that no movement or prime minister ever could. So thanks, eh? You know?
Well, you know, we're doing a podcast just about Trump in Canada, but it is Trump and really the rest of the world. Canada doesn't seem too unique in this.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny too, we had a lot of people call him a Trump light conservative candidate coming up who was way ahead in the polls when this all happened. His name's Pierre Poilievre. We call him kind of a maple syrup MAGA. And so he was way ahead in the polls, and his life was good. And then everyone wanted Trudeau out, and which he already is going on his way out. But now the polls are like the liberals have come back, and it's so Trump kind of did all this. And I'm sure Pierre Poilievre is not thrilled right now. So
that's interesting. So the right in Canada is hurt by this, but everybody is united in not liking this.
Yeah, there's a real national unity, I find now. You know, there's still some people who are, you know, wanting to join the U.S., think it's a great idea, you know.
Well, I welcome you guys. I think Canada is very nice. It would be lovely to have a 51st state there.
Well, you know, if we came up with the idea, that would be okay. we're doing fine. We kind of like the way things are going up here on our own.
You know, I was thinking about that just the other day. There are certain states, like California, you're in California, Daryl, and We'd be happy to have you join us. I don't know if we'd want, you know, Arkansas to join us, but we'll take California. And
well, we feel that way about Arkansas in California.
You do have that. But we have our own Arkansas here in Canada as well. So ask Dave, he'll know. He's close to them there.
No comment.
This is Patrick Corrigan, and I guess this is an oldie because it's got COVID in it, but this one really made me laugh, and it seems very appropriate right now. I enjoyed that one.
We've been through this already with Donald Trump, and our gate was closed for an inordinate amount of time because of his silly rhetoric against vaccines, and our universal healthcare system was at peril because his messaging was sort of destroying or overloading our ERs, and we had to keep it closed. We didn't want to. We had our borders open with, you know, I had a daughter who flew to Denmark in the middle of the pandemic, and she had no problem. You could fly to the United States. I have in-laws in Ohio, but I'm not going to like pay $300 to fly from Toronto to Cleveland. I couldn't go on a land border for 18 months because of the nonsense that Trump had gone on about during the whole pandemic. Our gate was closed for a good 18 months, mostly because of his nonsense that he was spewing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's still hard
to... We'd like to think that this is going to pass at some point. We have to patiently wait to see what happens with your midterms, I suppose. I mean, how many things can he screw up between now and then? I'm talking about Trump. And also, this is very curious. You know why, Daryl? There are 193 countries in the world. 191 of them don't like you much in the States. Here we are who, how would you put this, don't like you all the time either, but hate you the least of all the countries in the world. And we have this wonderful dynamic and always have between the two countries, Canada and the United States. Mm-hmm. So why is he doing this to his best friend? It's mm-hmm. really a puzzle. Anyway, everything about Trump is a puzzle. I think the bonus here is that you'll love this story. When Trump was elected November the 5th, I was at a function here, a fundraiser here in Montreal, the library, and my editor was there. And the editor walked up to me and said, with Trump being elected, Terry, you're guaranteed a job here with the newspaper for another 4 years. So he keeps us in work, and it's quite a wonderful thing, really.
Well, the only podcast that we do that get much traffic at all are Trump-themed podcasts. It's like people don't care about anything else. You know, I'm not really going to concede that Trump is good for cartoonists because I'm tired of him. Anyway, this is one of my oldies, and I thought I'd bring it back as kind of appropriate today, but I had to alter it to add puddles of pee on Canada, Greenland, and Panama Canal. So this is actually a revised to be current cartoon.
That's the great thing, is that we can... All these cartoons, a lot of them we've done in the past, so it's just a matter of, you know, doing a few changes. Stuff that we drew in 2017, 18, we can now bring out in 2025.
It often takes just the tiniest little bit of pee to make it current.
Exactly.
Yeah, it looks like he's got it covered now, the whole map, so.
He got it covered. So I've got the couple sitting on the couch, and she says, when we get Canada as the new 51st state, I think it'll make the other 50 states more polite. And it would. We're a heck of a lot more rude than Canada.
Well, we're kind of rude when it comes to some of the hockey games recently when we boo your aunt. So we're not so polite there.
Yeah.
Expect more booing in the next few days.
Just for the record, we're not booing Americans. We're booing Trump and MAGA. And I think if the situations were reversed and we were 10 times the size of you guys and we had the huge military and we were threatening to annex you, you guys might respond the same way. So I think it's we're just a little pissed off and kind of feel a bit betrayed right now. So
yeah, we don't see much nationalism from Canada. It's an interesting, different point of view.
Well, Trump brought us back together, like I said. So. Huge nationalism now.
So Graham McKay is the brilliant cartoonist for the Hamilton Spectator in Ontario, Canada, and he's won a ton of awards too. So Graham.
So last January, or just a month ago, we've been going through this sort of national introspection into foreign meddling. I'm sure you've been dealing with the United States, with Russia and China and Iran, sort of mixing it up in social media. And we've done a big investigation, and we found that there's actually assassinations that have happened on our soil. And there's been members of parliament who've been strong-armed by the diaspora. In particular, there's Michael Chong, who was terrorized by Chinese police that are based here in Canada. And all this has been kept very secretive with our security and intelligence. And now it's all sort of coming over the course course of the last 2 years has been sort of the narrative in this country. And we've had a parliamentary discussion in it. It even like involved an ex-governor general and he kind of flubbed it. And it's just become this horrible mess of politics. And the final report came out it was either before or right after Trump was inaugurated. And it just kind of fell in the background because all the rhetoric with tariffs, and I think he was even starting the 51st state nonsense, was starting to get whipped up. And so this stuff happening on the national scale with the Commission to Foreign Interference was kind of drowned out. And, you know, right before our eyes, we're seeing our entire like agenda in Canada being sort of co-opted by what's happening in Washington. I mean, I'm in a province here where we're having an election based on Trump, and this has not happened before. And everything. We're in prorogation, which means the parliament you see burning is closed. And it's basically because of what's happening in the United States. And we have a leadership going and just everyone's kind of freaking out here. And so that sort of covers the monster that we have down south attacking our peace tower, our parliament buildings in Ottawa. And I happen to put in there King Elon because, and this is like a month ago. And I'm seeing all kinds of great cartoons on the Kegel Cartoon website that I'm way behind because I got to deal with provincial stuff. I got to deal with Canadian stuff. And there's too much going on. Stop it. Make it stop.
Yeah, Graham has a point there about too much going on. I mean, I'm known for drawing cartoons on Canada, Quebec, and which is a fascinating scenario that's been going on since the country was first created in 1867. Mm-hmm. The dynamic between Quebec and Canada and sort of the duality. So there's this new thinking in Canada, and you should be paying attention to this.
We just had Michael Deatter join us. Nice to see you, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Nice to see you all.
Nice to see you.
Michael is here from Halifax, Nova Scotia, and he draws for the Globe and Mail in Canada. Nice to see you, Michael.
Nice to see you all.
Good to see you, Michael.
Hello, Michael. So, Terry, what were you saying?
Okay. There's this fascinating new dynamic happening here in Canada where we're so irritated and pissed off with what Donald Trump is trying to do. And we're not pissed off with Americans so much as this puzzling thing, situation you're trying to deal with down there. But what's happened is there's a new nationalism, and even Quebec, which ordinarily is against everything that Canada tries to do, is climbing on board with the idea of separating to a certain extent from the United States, creating pipelines that go to the West Coast, and then we start to feed oil, which ordinarily would have gone to you in the United States, to Japan and China, where they can use it. Even talk of us joining the European Union, which would not please your Donald Trump very much. So there's a spirit of let's tighten our belts and get together and spend some money and build this new Canada. So that exists.
You know, we hear a lot from Trump and his acolytes about how without all of the subsidies from America that Canada would not be a viable country. What do you guys say to that?
Complete he just makes stuff up. It's like he says we have a huge $200 billion deficit with Canada. Yeah. We sell our oil at a discount to America. They have refineries built specifically to refine our oil. And that's what the deficit is. I think it's $20 billion. And if without that, we'd be in the deficit. But we're giving you guys a deal. So I don't know why where he gets this from.
There was a joke during the rounds just a few weeks ago in Quebec where they said, look, we supply many of the northern United States with electricity. Let's cut it off at 5:30 on Super Bowl Sunday and see how happy Trump is with that. You know, so it's created some gallows humor here.
Well, if I could add, we're all starting to join Facebook groups to find out where do we get the Canadian made products and things like that. And that's like, I've never seen anything like that before. Like we're going down the nitty gritty of, well, where do you find like baked beans that are Canadian? We're almost becoming experts at, because there's a lot of cross-border stuff that happens, like cans might be made here, and then the food comes up from the United States, and then it's canned somewhere. So we're strategizing. We're trying to find a way of kind of nailing the business sector in the United States by, I guess you could say, is boycotting of certain American products. We'll take Peruvian blueberries over blueberries that are grown in Georgia or somewhere like that.
Here's the confusing thing. Boston pizza is Canadian. Yeah. Eating a Boston pizza is a form of Canadian patriotism.
That's right.
You got to go through all the different companies.
Okay, well, back to the cartoons. Graham, this is a lot of fun. I like this cartoon.
Me want Canada. Yeah. Well, Isn't the first time I put him in a toddler high chair, you know, in his first incarnation as Trump, I put him in the high chair. I think we've all done that.
There have been a lot of Trump as a baby cartoons. There's that wonderful big balloon of Trump as a baby.
Yeah. But I mean, every
standard for us now.
I think it needs to be sort of highlighted, the fact every time he says Canada should become the 51st state, every Canadian just wants to punch him in the face. And by now, it's like he would be pummeled if he had like 40 million people in front of him, because we all just want to punch him in the face every time he says that.
I should say there's a rule among cartoonists that if two cartoonists draw it, it's plagiarism. If three cartoonists draw it, the cartoonist is a hack. And if four or more cartoonists draw it, it's a great tradition.
Let's go with that. Yeah. The thing that's mind-boggling is Trump didn't mention the whole blame Canada thing before the election. It just kind of happened the day after he was inaugurated, or even when he was running up to the inauguration.
Graham, this is really very funny.
Again, it's the beaver. And we've seen examples of beavers being used. And, you know, I remember talking to Mike many years ago, and we both kind of avowed not to use beavers, but, you know, it's pretty much...
Since I went to the Globe and Mail, beavers like five or six times, because
it's Gable. It's sort of an homage to the great Brian Gable. Who?
Well, it wasn't really an homage. I told her I don't like to draw beavers, but they keep picking. I always have one sketch that's a beaver, and they always pick it. I don't know what it is. We're the only in the world that pick the largest rodent in the world as.
Not nice. They do horrible things to our landscape. Anyway, I'll talk about this if you want, just briefly. I come from Hamilton. Hamilton is the steel manufacturing city in Canada. And this came out in 2018. So here's an example of something that I got to rehash a couple weeks ago and send it to you, Daryl. And this is, we're kind of quaking in our boots here in Hamilton because we've gone through this. We went through it in 2018. There are a lot of layoffs. There's a lot of pain inflicted on my poor little city, and we're looking down the pike at another horrendous kind of period of time. We don't need it in this city, and it's going to be potentially devastating.
I would like to add that the city from Hamilton is basically the Pittsburgh of Canada.
That's right.
Tell us about this one, Graham.
This is like the old saying. I mean, our neighbors downstairs are nut bars. And this is yet another one. This is from, and it's a little old fashioned because Trudeau is basically the one who's afraid. He's actually playing a figurehead role now because I guess the term you use in the U.S. is lame duck. He's finished his job here March 9th or so next month. So this was done actually in 2018 or so when he dropped the first tariffs. And I think it still applies to this day. He still is our prime minister, and you've got the nut bar down there who's putting the flame to the ceiling.
He needs some work on the foundation.
I don't quite see why you guys are so unhappy with Trudeau.
Well, wait a minute. Let me jump in here. I don't agree with Graham. I'm going to draw a cartoon the end of the month saying the Canadian of February, the Canadian of the month, is Justin Trudeau, because he's the guy who's been jumping in and saying all the right things. He had an ad that they put on the Super Bowl in favor of Canada. So suddenly, even though he's redundant in terms of not being our prime minister, in the short period of time he has left, he's done a magnificent job of running with the ball on this whole issue and confronting Trump and that sort of thing. So I don't agree with Graham at all on that.
Well, because he's leaving, that's why people love him.
Well, that's rather trite, Graham. I mean,
I'm serious. I mean, I think we love our politicians once they're done doing their damage. And he has done a lot of bad things in this country. He hasn't been the most terrific prime minister. I mean, he should have resigned probably 2 years ago. But, you know, we're getting into heavy duty domestic politics and differences of opinion. But, you know, I agree. He's probably done a lot better in the last month or so than he might have been doing the previous 2 years. I think he was a car wreck for the last year or so.
I agree. But I think we're second guessing himself. And he's like, wow, why did I resign last month? His popularity is probably at an all time high now, you know, with the nationalism.
Michael, so these are their dreams. And this is a lovely cartoon.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have something to say about it?
It just seemed to go together.
Very good.
That was a lot of it.
Wonderful crowd scene of scary guys on the other side of the border.
Yeah, that's another good reason why the sketches have changed my work a bit, is because the Globe and Mail wants sketches the day before I draw it. And it gives me a lot of time to draw cartoons. So cartoons have more detail. This one, that's ridiculous, the amount of detail.
would end.
So this one is from Guy Parsons, another Canadian cartoonist with our group, and he's got the beavers at their dam, and one says, "Frankly, I'm just impressed that he even knew there are 50 states."
That's good.
And another Guy Parsons,
"There's no way Canada could become the 51st state. We couldn't afford the debt."
I think you guys are doing pretty good in the debt department. I'm not sure. The other thing that I always think is Trump says, "You guys will have better health care if you join us." It's like, what?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Yeah.
Oh, you might get a huge crush of people moving up to Canada for the health care.
But we apparently will tilt the Congress to vote Democrat all the time if we become your 51st state, apparently.
Well, I don't know. I'm in California, which has just about the same population as Canada. And we've only got two stinking senators, the same as Wyoming. So, yeah, it doesn't work out too well.
Well, you know what bugs me about this rhetoric about the 51st state is that there's actually many provinces up here. And for Trump to actually suggest that we just are in one big lump, it's crazy because, you know, British Columbia has a lot more in common with California and you know, Nova Scotia would have more in common with the New England states. So
we become the 51st state to the 63rd state.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, California could make the same argument. We should be seven states.
And with that many new states that are Alberta would be a red state. The rest of our province would be red states. So that's a lot of electoral college. That's all I'm
doing. A lot of this, too, is a great deal of fun for us to play with as cartoonists and poke fun and this, that, and the other. But it's redundant in a way because it's just impossible for it to happen, create a 51st state. I mean, that would require the cooperation of every country in the world.
How so?
After World War II, it was established that there was no country in the world was going to put up with the change of borders. Now, there are small exceptions of little places in Europe, but they did that with approval. It's just clearly internationally illegal for the United States to make any kind of claim on Canada.
I think we're all ready to ignore all of those precedents.
Yeah, I agree. Donnie's not a rule follower, I don't think so.
So here is Dale Cummings, another excellent Canadian cartoonist in our group, the I in Tariff.
Yeah, that's great. The FFS can stand for something else, too. So at the end there.
Steve Neese with another lovely border cartoon. And Steve Neese has the family saying, "During the Trump tariffs threat, I'm only buying Canadian at the grocery store for meals. Now eat your maple syrup." So are there enough products in Canada for you to do all Canadian?
Oh, yeah.
I think so. The thing is, our economies are so integrated. So like product could be made with products from the U.S., but it's made in Canada, you know, so it gets pretty confusing.
Sunday, a Canadian beaver will emerge from its snowy burrow. And if it sees Donald Trump's shadow, it will then retreat into its den below ground, hiding out for four more desperate years. This is your Groundhog's Day cartoon.
Well, ordinarily it would be, but I turned it into a beaver because it was on Groundhog's Day weekend and the business of seeing the shadow. So I, you know, we get creative, but sometimes a little too creative and it confused people. So I got all kinds of emails saying, "But that's not a groundhog."
Dave, talk to us about this one here. You have Trump saying, "I'm going to make Canada the 51st state," and Puerto Rico and D.C. say, hello.
Yeah, you know, for years they've been talking about, Puerto Rico and D.C. should, the District of Columbia should be made states because they're American territory. And they said that would flip the vote, probably, given the blue state or two more blue states. And if they get Canada, that'll be three probably blue states. But I think Puerto Rico and D.C. is just feeling a little left out here.
Well, it's really only the Democrats that have been talking about making them states.
True, yeah.
So here you got the two guys on the couch. It's Super Bowl time. First one says, "Please tell me Trudeau didn't just cut off our power right before the Super Bowl kickoff." Other one says, "Well played, Canada. Well played."
So we were just talking about this. Someone mentioned that people were joking about cutting off the power. And I did this one before the Super Bowl, obviously. And then, of course, everyone starts talking about it. And now I feel like I probably would have ditched this one. But it is a funny idea. I think Trump thinks it's a one-way thing. Like, he's going to punish us. And he's always says, "We don't want anything in Canada anyway." You know, so So it's like, be careful what you wish for, because sometimes it can come back on you.
Okay. So here you have Trump with his shopping cart with all of these places that Trump would like to aggregate. And actually, this turned out to be kind of a meme. Here's Dick Wright with much the same thing. He is kind of shopping around here. Terry, I thought this was very funny. Is that really your house?
Well, it's close. I have a little bungalow, nice little bungalow in Montreal. Suits myself and my wife very well. So it came out of that, because I'm hearing from a lot of American friends. And by the way, it's a cliche, but I love to say this. Some of my best friends are American. So we start hearing, as every time there's a crisis, I hear from these American friends moaning and groaning all over the place saying, have you got room in your house for us? Or can you shop for a house for us? So the whole cartoon grew out of it. I thought, well, look, add a little addition to my house to hold the people, but then maybe a second house, and then it turned into a whole condo tower, if you will, to put up with my friends who are going to arrive after the election of Trump. It was a very successful cartoon. It got a lot of play.
This is from Harley Schwadron, new cartoonist we just added to Kegel Cartoons, and you've got the two ladies going down the jogging trail. One says, my friends talk about moving to Canada, but I wonder if under Trump, Canada moves to the U.S. Seems to be the discussion. And here's John Darko, and they're building a snowman, and he says, where are we going to threaten to move if Trump annexes Canada? You know, this is a kind of a standard thought. I'll move to Canada if Bush is elected. I'll move to Canada if Trump is elected.
Well, it actually started when Trump was first elected. There was all of that talk. And I think
it started when I was a kid. People moved to Canada to avoid the draft.
True, yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of American cartoonist friends that have said that. I want to move up to Canada. You got a space for me? And if all the poop goes down, and so I'm starting to charge now to be on the list. So, you know, you can make a few bucks.
Yeah. I propose a flop house here in Hamilton. We're pretty close to Niagara Falls, so at least there's that charm.
You know, as I look at your cartoons, accounting for size, it looks like there's a better cartooning situation in Canada than down here. Would you agree with that?
Well, I don't know.
Well, it is actually, if you have to separate the wheat from the chaff in any kind of discussion like this, Daryl. It's very important. But if you look at the numbers, if you crunch the numbers, I've been cartooning here a long time, coming up on 60 years. When I joined, you had 350 cartoonists in your association down there. In the United States. You did. You had 350 cartoonists. We had approximately 30, 35 cartoonists who were making a living at it. Now, how many do you have down there who are actually making a living? 35, 40, something like
that? I think at the peak in America,
I'm talking about almost 60 years ago. These were all legitimate salary cartoonists.
60 years ago, I think there were about 170 that had jobs in America.
Okay, wow. But that was the membership at the time. But anyway, what I was trying to say was that now in Canada, of course, it's fallen off. We have our problems. Michael's had to deal with it. And, you know, in terms of cutbacks and this, that, and the other, there was a situation. But still, number-wise, we still have approximately 15 or so cartoonists who are actually making a living from it in Canada. So that's a cut of 15, nowhere near. Granted, let me qualify this, that there are extreme problems because of the takeover of Post Media, the biggest, largest chain in Canada, which is basically owned by bean counters in the United States. And conservative editors are being appointed all over the place, and silly situations evolving. But nevertheless, if you're looking at the number, and Michael can speak to this very well because he had experience on both sides of the border, it is a better situation here in Canada. I feel eventually, within 10 to 20 years, of course, print cartooning will have evolved onto the internet full time.
Well, if you compare Canada to California, having roughly the same populations, I think there are no editorial cartoonists that have jobs in California. Wow. Pick any equity area of population in the United States, Canada has a hell of a better cartoonist situation than America.
But we don't have one cartoonist west of Hamilton. Graham McKay, if you go across the map, is the last full-time cartoonist in Canada, and you go west and there's none. There aren't any.
Graham Harrop?
No, Harrop is on a small contract.
Is Malcolm Mays on a small contract too?
Malcolm Mays, we are talking about this because he's still a staff cartoonist. I actually get benefits with my job, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. And I think he does too. So we're like the last holdouts there. But, you know, as I say, satire is not going to die. I look at Mike is doing a good job, not only with the Globe and Mail, but he's supplementing his income with Substack. And he's inspiring a lot of us. And so good for Mike. But I think the newspaper is dying, obviously. The old paper print thing is going. Maybe there'll be some fumes left in the virtual world. But we're just going to have to find another place to post our cartoons. And well, we're looking at the United States, and I see people like Jack Oman and various other cartoons down there who are making a good go with Substack and other digital mm-hmm. platforms. And everyone's we're surviving, and that's a good thing.
Well, I see a lot of zombie newspapers out there. Like what I call zombie newspapers, like the Herald that let me go. They're being run by, you know, a hedge fund out of the United States. They're not operating like a news. They pretend to operate like a paper, but there's no opinion. There's no cartoon. You know, there's no anything that you would call it a newspaper. The mayor's race happened this summer, and there were no reporters covering it. It was almost like the mayor's race had a life of its own.
Getting back to your original point, Daryl, the question about is it a better situation in Canada? I'm not suggesting that's ideal in Canada, but in Quebec alone, we have 7 working cartoonists who are making
wow.
7. And that's because there's still so much political discussion and an interest in newspapers, and Quebec is a communication tool. Remember, it's primarily French-speaking, and therefore there's a lot of communication. CBC, which is called Radio-Canada in Quebec, is the most popular television network in all of Canada. So there's a great discussion, political discussion, that carries on in Quebec. It's a tradition. People are talking to each other, and humor, wonderful humor. These other guys will tell you that some of the humor coming out of Quebec traditionally has always been the best, poking fun at the politicians. Serge Chapleau, who had his own television satirical show, much like that popular one in, what was it, in England? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's not all bad. And what cheers me up is this, that the tradition is changing platform. Yeah, it's no longer in print. But one of the best comics in Canada presently, developing an international Sugar Sammy is his name, and he's appearing in Vegas. He's appearing all over the place. So the tradition of really strong humor and satire, and I tag along being an English guy with this, so that it carries over and that the English population is still involved very much in the political discussion. That's probably why I still have work. Anyway, I think that's a very important point that I'm trying to make about satire carrying over under different platforms. And Michael's trying to do it. Graham is certainly trying to do it, trying this, that, and the other. So for a younger generation, satire will survive.
Gentlemen, here's Chris Wyant in the family at the dinner table. Dad says, depending on how tonight goes, this year our family vacation will either be 2 weeks on the Cape or 4 years in Canada.
Yeah.
Graham, this is fun.
Toddler Trump again.
Breaking all of his toys.
Yeah, well, he's obviously throwing a whole bunch of toys behind him, too. I mean, obviously it was after he was elected, but before his inauguration. So he's just kind of like hiding out in the background, kind of like toying with different countries at the time. And Canada was just becoming part of the rhetoric of 51st state. This one actually makes a little bit more sense now. This was done maybe a month ago when he was starting to piss off the world. But now, more so than ever, especially after J.D. Vance was in Europe on the weekend and what he said to so-called allies in Europe, you guys are becoming more and more isolated with every day. And this is just a play on the old scientific continental drift thing.
And one thing I think that makes the U.S. So powerful is its allies. Like, we all get on board with you when going to wars, whatever. But if you're without the allies, if you've pissed everybody off, you're going it alone, which I think loses your power quite a bit.
Graham, this is very funny.
Well, Dave sort of covered this before with the guy waiting in the wings, the wannabe Prime Minister, Pierre Poilievre. And he's still, you know, he's changing his slogans. His big slogan was Axe the Tax, which was our carbon tax that everyone now is on board getting rid of. But now he's using the rhetoric of Canada first. Mm-hmm. And he's even talking about axing foreign aid, which is just out of the Donald Trump playbook. And so this came out about a month ago when he was still high in the polls. As Dave pointed out, his polls are tanking now. And we got a guy, a former governor of the Bank of Canada, and who happened to also be a former Bank of England, Mark Carney. He's starting to rise in the polls, and he's probably going to be the successor to Justin Trudeau. He's finally some kind of counterweight to the MAGA nonsense that seems to
be. Graham, did you have in mind when you drew this little mouse under the Canadian flag that readers would know who the mouse refers to?
It's actually Justin Trudeau's dad made it very popular, a saying, being a Canadian is like sleeping with an elephant. We feel every twitch and groan or whatever. Maybe, Terry, you know it better than I do. Its inception was way back in the 1960s when he was speaking to a board of trade in the United States or something. And that's sort of been kind of like a saying ever since. So maybe it went over the heads of a lot of Americans, but I think Canadians will certainly get it. It's like sleeping with an elephant.
Yeah, it's become Graham started a bit of a historical drama that happened in Canada that most Canadians, if they know their history, know all about. So we think of you as an elephant. It's a good symbol stomping around. But it was Pierre Trudeau, Justin Trudeau's father, who was a very strong prime minister who established that. So Graham's absolutely right. Any Canadian is going to understand this cartoon.
If I could add one more Canadianism before we get on to that one, I just heard it the other day, and maybe this will remind you again, Terry. It was Peter Zosky who came up. He wanted to come up with a slogan that was just as kind of like cool as the American slogan, American is apple pie, because we don't have that in Canada. It's like, it shouldn't be like as Canadian as the beaver, as Canadian as maple syrup. But it was a contest, and all these people kind of sent in their ideas. And the one that won was as Canadian as possible under the circumstances.
Yeah, I remember that. Now.
That's so funny. And that was way back when, and it's kind of died off. I heard the other day.
I missed that kind of cleverness in the public arena.
Yeah.
Like Peter Zoss and people like that. They were very clever. I'm not going to comment on Canadian media, but there are still great people. But my God, I miss the cleverness.
Okay, Graham, tell us about this one.
Well, we've seen many incarnations of the groundhog being turned into a beaver, so there's not much more to say. We all seem to have the same idea. Let's just get this over with. It's not like this is anything new coming from you. I'm a beaver, by the way. So it's actually making fun of the whole thing about it being a beaver. But we sort of have the feeling here in Canada that we're being beat up by this bully. Oh, some of us are starting to ask, well, where's our buddies in the Commonwealth? Where's our king? Why are people like coming to our defense? We're just kind of being left on our own to be beaten up by Donald Trump. But when you think of it more, like, you guys are going through so much torment right now that I don't blame you if this is just sort of happening in the background, because he's decimating your federal civil service and he's doing all these weird things across the planet. So I get the sense that we're just kind of like an afterthought to you right now.
It is true. The Canada story is just a teeny bit of the story on the news. Overwhelmed by everything else.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of used to it from the United States.
Okay. Any last comments from everybody?
I think at the top, we were talking about how much we really love the United States. You know, I have many friends in the United States. I am married to an American. I have half American kids. I go to the United States all the time. We don't vote for your president. We didn't choose to get the tariffs. We didn't choose to have a president that was talking about making Canada the 51st state. But we also understand that he only got half the population voting for him. And there's another half of American population who are in chaos and crisis mode right now, and we feel for you, but we're also feeling it too.
I don't think he's treating Canada any worse than the other 50 states.
No.
Good point.
But you guys got to vote for him. You can't blame us for voting for him.
No. Blame Canada.
Don't blame Canada. That's what we're saying. Some part got it wrong. We're just on the sidelines praying that we don't get sideswiped.
I would add that when you see online Canadians booing the national anthem, or if you see Canadians saying anything derogative about Americans, we're not really talking about Americans. We're talking about Republicans. We're talking about Trump. So if you ever like see a Canadian just say the most horrendous thing, just replace it with a Republican.
True. And I also think like we have this shared history. You know, we fought in world wars together, and in 9/11 we felt it just as deeply as you, probably. An attack on you is an attack on us. You know, we just last month we had firefighters going down to LA to fight your fires, and we do, as we do every year. So we're just a little caught off guard by like, what's this? What did we do, Donnie? You know, so that's why we're a little pissed off now. And it's hard to get us pissed off. We're so polite. You know, that's where we are now. So.
You all are very polite. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nice to see you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, Canada.
right.
See ya.
See ya.
So remember to subscribe to the Kegelcast wherever you're watching or listening today. Our Kegelcast is available in both video and audio versions. So if you don't see the cartoons, go to Kegel.com or Apple Podcasts or Rumble or YouTube or Spotify or Kegelcast.com to see a complete archive of all of our Kegelcast podcasts. And thank you again, gentlemen.